bow our heads and close our eyes, word of prayer. We certainly appreciate our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We want to call Brother Winston Douglas and ask him to pray and ask God's blessing upon our gathering today.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we deem it a privilege this morning, Lord, to come
thank you,
to
Jesus.
These services, Lord. It means so much
yes,
to us,
Lord.
Lord. It means more to us, Lord, than life.
Yes, Lord.
More to us than food. More to
yes,
us than
Lord.
Clothes, than work.
Lord,
we come
God.
To fill our vessels with oil.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, people might want to know why we are gathering here, Lord, but
yes.
We know, Lord, what these services is doing to us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We come this morning, Lord, with faith in our heart, drawing
thank
from the
you,
word,
Jesus.
Lord.
Glory.
Preparing ourselves because the message comes for preparation, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
To prepare us, Lord. That was the seventh time I came to do, Lord Jesus. And we thank you this morning, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We come to pull, Lord,
yes.
This morning.
Yes,
everything
Lord.
We can, Lord, with our system,
you.
With our soul.
Glory.
We thank you for teaching us, Lord, how to draw.
Yes,
not
Lord.
Not just to grab by our senses.
True, Lord.
Or haphazardly, Lord. But, oh God, that have that faith in the Word of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Accept it as it already ours, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
To believe it, Lord, as we receive it already.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you for the training. Lord,
thank
and
you,
we
Lord.
Are taking the training, Lord. And we are practicing it, Lord.
Yes.
With all that within us, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
This morning, asking you, Lord, to sanctify us.
Grant it, Lord.
Forgive us, Lord, for everything we have committed in our life.
Yes, Lord.
And even thought that passed from mind for
Jesus.
The day.
Jesus.
May you cleanse us, Lord. And
grant it, Lord.
May you speak to each and every one of us personally
oh,
this morning.
Oh, God, may
that
you
we can live here
day,
with a personal faith, Lord,
pray
that you have
Lord
spoken
and
to
Holy
us.
Holy Spirit.
May we not come here, Lord, and waste
Jesus.
Our time.
Oh, God.
Lord, because we come from far.
Yes, Lord.
To come here, Lord, and just to wild stare or gaze and watch one another.
Oh God.
Put our mind somewhere else, Lord. It
will
be worth it all, Lord.
True, Lord.
May we press in with everything that we
oh
us.
God, may you grant it.
May
Father.
You take a hold of that vessel, that channel
yes,
there.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we recognize God standing
may
in flesh
grace.
Once more.
Jesus.
Lord, may we recognize the presence of God is
yes,
here in this place.
Lord.
That we can draw, Lord, and be so
what
filled
we
with your
need
spirit.
Of, Lord.
We need
grant
so much
Lord.
Of your spirit, Lord.
Grant it, Lord.
Lord, there are seven baptism, Lord. We
Jesus.
Need a baptism of a baptism of a baptism.
Yes,
and
Lord.
May you so fill us till a cup run it over.
Grant it, Lord.
We take every spirit this morning under your control.
Grant it, Lord.
We ask all these mercies in no other name but the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. He's my everything. He's my all. Amen. Let's just sing that song. He's my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. Amen. He's my everything. He's my all. Come on, just start by the grace of God. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my both great and small, he gave his life for me, made everything new. He my all. Oh, sing it one more time. He's my everything. He is my. Just get in the spirit of worship. Just let go and just worship him if he's your everything. He is my all. He is my everything. He is my everything. Both great and small, He gave his life for me and set me free. Gave his life for me and set me free. He is my everything, he's my all. He is my everything. He is my all. Oh, sing that one more time. Let's lift our hands and worship him singing it. He is my. Let's truly express from our hearts unto him. He is my all. He is my everything. Oh, great and small. He gave his life for me. Set me free and set me free. He is my everything. Oh, he is my all. He is my all. How great is our God. How great is his word. That's what we come to gather around today. How great is his word. Oh, he's the greatest one. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. That ever was heard. He wrote. Mighty Red Sea, mighty Red Sea, and he said, I will lead you. That's his promise. And he said, I will lead you. Put your trust in me. One more time. How great is his name? How great is his name? Oh, he's the greatest one. He's the greatest one. Forever the same. Forever the same. He his wonderful name. Amen. Only trust him. Only trust him. Let's just sing that. Come every soul by sin oppressed. His mercy with the Lord. He said, I will lead you. If you put a trust in me, let's just have faith. Reach out. We want to pray for all the needs today. Those that may have a special need upon their heart. If you come into service today, whatever it is, whether it's a financial need, a spiritual problem, domestic need, need a physical healing, need the Holy Spirit in your life, need a more revelation, whatever it is, amen, just want to really reach out with real faith and really touch him. Amen. Draw it from as our brother is praying. All that we have need of him today, we get calm. That's why we have these services to really strengthen the weak places right amongst us in the places you know that are needy. And I was just talking to a sister on a Sunday, and you know, she had this very severe problem, and I was just kind of showing her. I said, that's why many times the word comes out, and many times you sit down right there, ashamed to really come up and, you know, make your request known and have prayer ministered to you. Amen. You would sit there thinking this one might see you and this one might be watching you. And here you sit in a backslidden condition out in the world. Amen. A disgrace to the message. And you know, if you was in such a way that when you see those things need in your lives, you are sincere enough to know it is your life. It is your life the devil is destroying. It is your life he's trying to really pull away from the presence of God. It is your faith he's trying to destroy. And that's where you should really, you know, really reach out and receive healing, and receive strength. Amen. Let God do something for you down in your soul that could really cause you to rise up and serve and have the victory. Amen. And so many times we fail to do those things, but you know, we just want to reach down in those places. And now we say this service is really supposed to be an open service. It wasn't supposed to be no secret, private thing. You come here because you need help. Amen. And you're free to express what you have need of. And others, praying souls, could really take it upon their heart and pray together with you and see a real deliverance comes. Amen. And that's why we're here. We're not here to go to more churchianity. And we have enough of that. We have had enough of that for years. But it's for people that are seeking deliverance. We're making the extra effort here that they can come out and really receive it by the grace of God. Amen. Come every soul by sin oppressed. Come unto me all your labor and are heavily laden. I will give you rest unto your souls. That's a promise. When you could have an invitation like that from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How we ought to just take a hold of it, embrace it in our hearts. Amen. Do we just be coming and going out? You know, she's telling me, she's saying, no, I just always coming and going out and I don't need to get nothing. I said, because your heart always needs to be in the world. If you just sit down there and realize what you had need of and really be sincere, see, your heart was out in the world, so eventually when you sit down here in your heart out in the world, you can't get nothing. Amen. But when you really come in there and you really let go and get in the God presence, surely you will do something for you. God will give false promises. God will give a sincere heart. He's going to take his word and believe it with real faith. Amen. Amen. Only let's have the cross. Only trust him. Only trust him. Amen. He will save you. He will save you now, not tomorrow, not next week, right now in this service. If your faith can really reach out to him. Amen. We have so much of singers inside of here. Amen. All of these singing special. Somebody raise this song by the grace of God. Amen. Trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Come every soul. Come every soul by sin oppressed. Yes, mercy with the Lord, and he will give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Oh, Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him. Only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Oh yes, Jesus is the true way. Jesus is the true way. lead you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and we are fully blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Come then and join this holy band, and on to glory go. Dwell in that celestial band where joy immortal flows. Only trust him, only trust. Trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Oh, for Jesus shed his precious blood. His precious blood, rich blessings to be. So plunge now into the crimson flood. She's white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him. Trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe that you shed your precious blood, that we might be able to receive every redemptive blessing. Lord God, know that your Holy Spirit, the life of that very blood, has come back in the midst of your people. It is by your Spirit that we are drawn together, Lord. It is by your Spirit the chains of sin was broken around our lives. It is by your Spirit, Lord, we were delivered out of darkness, Lord, to walk in this light that you have sent forth. It is by your very Spirit, Lord, we have received the understanding that, Lord God, you have sent a message to prepare your people, to make them ready for your coming. And Lord God, to know that our hearts have been turned back to the faith of the fathers. And as we gather here today, Lord God, we are expecting that your very Spirit, Lord, Lord, would minister, Lord, every blessing, Lord, that your people will have need of today. I pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us and direct us, Lord. Lord God, into such a faith, bring us into such a victory, Lord, into such a deliverance that we have need of. To see this little church here, Lord, rise up in the arms of faith in this hour. To see this little church stand delivered. Lord God, we don't just want to see people gather together. We don't just want to see people coming to church and assembling themselves. Lord, but we want to see living epistles read of all men. We want to see, Lord, your word operating in human flesh. We want to see people, Lord, with a testimony that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. People, Lord God, that could take this word and operate it and make it live and prove that you're not dead, but you're alive. Father, we pray that as we gather here today, your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. And Lord God, you would search out our lives and find the places where the unbelief is laying inside of us. Find the weak places in our lives, Lord. Find the places where the devil is hindering us, Lord. Find the place where we're stumbling around. Find the place where we're confused in our minds. Find the place where we need to be enlightened, Lord. Find the places, Lord, where it needs to be mended, Lord, and strengthened, Lord. Oh, gracious God, we look unto you, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will just move in such a way amongst us that, Lord, there can be seen a deliverance wrought here by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the world being quickened and come alive. And I pray, Lord, you would give hearts to your people, Lord. Hearts that would want to participate. Hearts that would reach out and touch you, Lord. Hearts, Lord, like, Lord, that woman with the issue of blood had when she saw you passing by And Lord God, she was pressing through. She was willing to press through and be determined that no obstacle would hinder her, Lord. Hearts, Lord, like blind Bartimaeus, Lord, who was willing to scream out, Lord. Oh, God, realizing you passed by, but knowing, Lord, you could feel his faith, Lord. Faith that could stop you with all his sins of the world upon you, with the great responsibility, Lord, of going to the cross to die for suffering humanity. But, Lord God, you had faith that could stop you. Oh, God, faith that could stop the Son of God. How greater that is, Father, than to stop the natural Son. Lord, I pray that same faith will drop down in our hearts, that we can stop you, the Son of the living God, right here amongst us, Lord, that you can do for us this morning what we have need, what we come expecting, what we come believing, reaching out this morning, Father, that you would be so merciful, full of compassion, Lord, to reach out and touch us with your nail-scarred hand. And Lord God, that we can leave here delivered, we can leave here healed, we can leave here satisfied, we can leave here, Lord, our problems solved. We can leave here, Lord, more charged with your Holy Spirit, Lord. We can leave here with our understanding enlightened. We can leave here delivered, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, we believe that you can do this for us, Father. So we confess it, Lord. We make our confession of faith in that presence, Lord. In the face of every enemy, in the face of every chain that the enemy might be holding us in bondage with, we confess, Lord, that you can take those chains away today. Have your way amongst us in this service. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will get glory and honor. And Lord God, that when we leave here, we can leave here rejoicing, going on our way to serve you, Father, with a greater faith, with a greater realization, with a greater determination, Lord, knowing that you love us and you care for us and that every word you've spoken is true. Oh God, may you grant it that we can have that victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, is the song to tell me who can stand before when we come in the name of Jesus, that we already have the victory. Oh God, every devil would have to flee. Grant it, Lord. Let that faith move in every heart today. We pray and we ask these things for thy glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. 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 Let's turn our Bibles. Amen. I'm trying with you with all that's in my heart. Even though you discourage me sometimes, I say, oh God, give me grace. Don't get vexed with the people, but just humble myself more and try with them, Lord. Amen. God know my heart. Sometimes I feel just if I had wings like a dove to fly away and be at rest. I remember years ago when I was starting the ministry, God gave me a quote in Why Christ Speak. He said, Moses will have to take this bunch of intellectual people and get them to the promised land somehow. Amen. I'm trusting God for more grace. You pray for me. Amen. I ain't going to get fed up. Every day, amen, you know, that I'm getting a call. This one, you know, called me to come out and preach here. Come out and preach here this morning. Come again. Another letter from Zimbabwe again, and you know, a couple of days ago from Canada and different places to come out and preach. And I came back home and changed. I said, no, Lord, I come back here after I come back from the last trip to stay here, have five services a week, and just trying to see this little church get strengthened and lifted up to a place, and looking for the ones I know that really need deliverance to come out and hear the word and come out and get in the spirit and try to do all that you could do. Because I mean, I could preach the word and give it to my own. I want to see you take it. I want to see you rise, but do something with it. I don't even want to see you come in service. You have to hear more and get, you know, like a stuff up, just eating and getting fat and you can't even move around afterwards. I want to see you take the word and go there and fight the devil and come back and testify and say something and participate in the service and tell me again the victory in your home and tell me the word helping you and tell me something is taking place. Amen? So by the grace of God, let's just try, because we have people here that need deliverance. Every day one getting cold, every day one backsliding, every day, you know, one home being torn apart, every day something happening, you know, things happening daily. It's a battle. It's showing people getting wounded. You know, you ain't getting 100% record yet. They say, well, you know, we went for 5 months and we didn't have one person backslide, we didn't have one hand hanged up in service, we didn't have one person couldn't sing in church. Every day you look, you see, one more going down. Oh yeah, God bring in someone. Some getting the victory by the grace of God, but we really want to see something happen. Amen. Remember, you had a fight to take this promise. Genesis 15 and 1 John 4. Say, God, give me grace by this. Amen. Give me strength. I want to fight. I want to fight with all that's inside of me, I tell you. I believe I have enough devils to accept this bride. That's my faith. That's what I believe. Amen. I want you to know that too. Know that down in your heart. Amen. I was my little boy home sick, as Annabelle could tell you, roasting with fever, measles break out all over him, and I took him yesterday morning to the office, I anointed him with oil, I tell him what it means, I pray for him, and you know, I had him by me, and then he went through the day, and he was roasting, and you asked him, David, how are you feeling? Good. Good as ever. And the boy, you can see the eyes watering, how are you feeling, Dave? Good. All up and down the place, normal. Boy, coughing like your whole stomach want to come out. How are you feeling, Dave? Good? I took his mother in my hand and I said, Dave, you know, I was telling mother yesterday, I said, you know, David, it's something about David, you know. I said, you know, I learned to appreciate him more, I said, because it's under sickness, and I see the quality of the boy coming out. I said, I never realized I have that kind of boy there, if he wasn't sick. Under the sickness, I see, it's like he buckle up, you know, and yesterday we having a little family worship and we were singing. He fell up on the chair like that there. And then I said, welcome, welcome. I hear a little voice scream out, welcome, welcome. I said, yeah. You know, it just almost break my heart, you know. And then I said, look at this little boy. Look at the faith in spite of sickness and having a confession. It is well. And then sometimes, you know, you come to preach to some big people and who know the word and they miss it for years and you know, all can come with a complaint and murmur sometimes. My, I tell you. I know we are going to rise up and take the word and really believe it. Amen. Genesis 15. Genesis 14 was a great battle Abraham had. My, he just took the grace of God to give him the victory. But he came back victorious nevertheless. And then Genesis 15 says, and after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision saying, fear not. God just knew what the torment he was going through in his mind, how his troubled his soul was. And the first thing the Holy Spirit spoke to him said, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what will thou give me seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own loins shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. May he take out our souls this morning and show us something that could cause us to really believe. Like he showed Abraham something here and caused him to believe. 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. That's the key right there. This is what a lot of people don't have. They don't have the assurance that God really loved them. They don't have the assurance that God cared for them. That they look for human sympathy and they look for, you know, and that they can't have faith, but the love of God, when it's revealed in your heart, you could have faith. Because faith worketh by love. And John is saying, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness or confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth, or he that have lack of assurance, because fear is lack of assurance too. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. May the Lord add blessings to his word. Now, for the next few moments, we're just going to try to just speak shortly, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. And I wonder if anybody would have any questions in their heart that any, you know, as we go through these services and, you know, things come up and you have little questions, we try to help you. Because it's not basically for me, designed for me to preach to you. It's for me to try to help you in the places in your life where you have a need. And if there's something in your life that in a personal area where it may need ministering to, that is what it is for. So the things that could be directed to you would be what is necessary to help you out of your condition. But if you are ashamed of your condition, then you're going to keep your condition. And then I may minister something else that may not be relevant to your condition, and you would not get no assistance because you're ashamed. But when you go to a doctor, he just asks you straight, what's wrong with you? What are you suffering from? Where are you getting your pain? And you may have to talk some personal things. You don't get embarrassed. And that's just a natural health. And the same way spiritually, sometimes you say, you know, I find myself to be lying, or I find myself compromising, I find myself, the first thing you think, you're going to look bad. And, you know, it worry, but remember, those things are spirits. They're not just thoughts, they are spirits. And, you know, you may not want to see spirits getting a hold of your life. But when they get a hold of your life, that would do. So even fear is a spirit. I said, we don't have the spirit of fear. We have the spirit of love and power and of a strong mind. So you can have the spirit of love and you can have confidence. You can have the spirit of fear and you have full of uncertainty and doubt. And then you find yourself in torment. And devil in the Bible, it means tormentor. And fear hath torment. Your spirit of fear is a spirit that is tormenting you. And any torment, you're going to hinder you. Because to really see the word work in your life, it's going to take faith to make it work. It is your faith, your revelation, that substance of the word inside of you, you're going to make that word work. And, you know, these services really came about out of the need that developed in the assembly. These services wasn't that we just feel to have small services. It arose out of the need, and a need that developed and grew in the church, where problems were just rising up all over the place, indicating that many of the people wasn't getting the word as they should really get it. And that is why we were being faced with certain kind of problems when we were trying to attain to certain promises in the word. And then it makes you wonder, how could people have this kind of problem when they're preaching these things here? When they're supposed to be living up here? The answer is very simple. The people wasn't really getting it. So then what we decided to do? Have these services where we can minister personally and directly to people, where those places in their individual lives could really be built up. So these services were designed more for personal attention and more for individual ministering, rather than, you know, just minister like a message, you know, in a mass way for everybody. And, you know, many of the sisters and the housewives and many of the other people that we talk, you know, the time that we're living in, we have so much type of needs coming up. And those needs contribute a lot to the kind of problems being faced in the home. But we live in an hour here, a lot of people don't have work. Don't have work, it means they don't have food in their home. It means that their parents they can't provide their children with certain things. It means say, you know, the situation becoming worse, fear coming. It means say fear causing many to compromise and many to get into all kind of conditions, and you know, it brings frustrations and different things. And you find then that yet they know in the word that they read of things and they read of situations where they saw God manifested and operated his word in such a way that he met those needs. And then they look at their own selves and say, well, I have a similar need. Why God don't do anything for me? I mean, I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to be sincere. I'm trying my best to be a Christian. And then they stay right and they find themselves in a situation. Then some people, they can't afford to spend their money to go to a doctor for no checkup, and God have it like that because God want them to have faith in his word, and because some of them quick to run to the doctor with every little money they get. You see, and then half the time the doctor himself. He didn't take no time to examine them. He didn't take no time to really find out what's wrong with them. He more busy. He's a natural man like anybody else. He's no Superman. What he learned by practicing too. He ain't born with medical knowledge. He born as a man. I went to school and learned that. You know what I'm saying? So if he ain't get inspiration from God or no help from God, then he'll get tired. He get up in the morning, a tired man. See 12 patients yesterday. He have family problem. He tired. He sick in his own body too. He come and he have a profession to make a living and his money coming in. So he had to see the patients. But sometimes, you know, sometimes we put these people in a world like they're the most healthy person. They're the specimen of health. They're the most compassionate people in the world. They're the most understanding and caring people. So you should have faith in them. This time, they treat you, okay, next. Because they are tendency, and plus they have to go, you know, maybe in the club, maybe the man nerves falling apart. He had to go and get a drink himself. Oh, he has some outside woman he running down to. Sure, you see it. Nobody can hide that. You see the sinners. You see? So when you see these type of things, then you as a Christian now believe in God. Now you go into this man now trying to have faith. And what are you doing? When you really check yourself. You know, he gives some medicines and so you see it. The man, you know, asks what's wrong with you. Take his telescope. Touch it here. Touch it here. Squeeze here. Now maybe he feeling for a symptom. Maybe he didn't even tell you because you don't have the time to sit and talk with you. You would feel more better if he talked to you over half an hour and explained to you, okay, you know why you get this, so and so and so. And you stay up too late in the night, and that happened, that thing on the nerves, and that's why you're reacting this way. And then you kind of feel better. See, just maybe somebody talking to you, put yourself, you feel better. But the thing is that, okay, next, try this and come back next week. And get you take two times a day. You don't even know where you're taking, you don't even know where you're doing for you know nothing. After your mind started playing tricks on you, yeah, I think it's working. Yeah, I ain't sure it's working. You like it helping me. It ain't really helping me. Sometimes something else helping you, not the medicine helping you. It's just the feeling now that somebody give you a little attention, listen to your complaint, and kind of prescribe something to kind of help you. And as, if you go by a psychiatrist, which is the next former doctor who deal with the mind or not the body, he will tell you many things there that is not your body working. Is your mind helping you a little better there, making you feel better? Is your thoughts get different now? Sure. See, and then sometimes a minister now give you the word of God, which is the infallibility, which is bringing to the healer himself, the one who can really heal. And you into want to have faith in that because, you know, he takes nothing and put it on your body. He didn't put in no room and put in a little cloth and he have no lady song, no little white just telling your name and say, okay, number 45, and you're coming, you know. And sometimes just the mental, you know, experience of going through these things mentally, it kind of make you feel, you can be attended to. But really, faith, you have to put faith in the word. You have to put faith in the word. See? So when you come to the place to really, you know, have faith in the word of God, then you gotta realize why these people, you know, when they face with a situation, for them to release their faith and believe and really reach out and receive the help that God wants to give them. Something that is sure, something that will be complete, something that is perfect, something that, you know, as the prophet said, look at medical science. They have the symbol of medical science is a serpent on a pole. They don't, half the doctors don't even know what the serpent on the pole means. That comes from the Bible. That is Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And that was a symbol, of Old Testament type of Jesus Christ himself. See? So then when we look and we see these things in this kind of age that we live in, so much problems arise, so much pressure upon the people, we got to have something real. We got to have something to anchor the soul. We got to have something that can really meet the challenge. We don't need no little teaspoon or nothing to kind of a mind over matter and a little philosophy and, you know, we kind of go along and do a good deed for the day to make our conscience feel a little better, to hide our guilt for the sin of our life. So we're trying to do back a deed now to get back favor with God. No! We have to have something practical, something real, something that we are sure of, something that we know God will accept because we can't bluff these things. Amen. Let me read something here for you. As we start a little bit. It's a good place to start. Listen. This is a message called Enticing Spirits. He says, now all things ought to be considered prayerfully. First, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things shall be added. I am positive, surely, the prophet says, this morning, if men or women but only get in the position of where their soul, their thinking, their attitude will be perfect in the sight of God, that would be one of the most powerful churches that ever existed. And positive choices. If the soul, the thinking, the attitude will be perfect in the sight of God, that would be one of the most powerful churches that ever existed. Watch just a few moments on the physical. Give an illustration here. Now we have many times, half a year is what we call a lie detector. You talking about an instrument science invent. You can put it on your wrist, set it across your head, and you can get in there and try your best to make a lie sound like the truth. It will register negative every time. Because the human was not made to lie. Lying is a deceitful, hard thing, evil thing. I'd rather have a drunkard with me any day than a liar, he says. See, a liar. And your body wasn't made to lie. No matter how sinful you are still a fallen son of God. The most sinful person in this city there is. God didn't intend you to be sinful. He wanted you to be a son or daughter of his. You are made up in his own makeup, but sin has caused you to do that. No matter how much you try to impersonate and how much you try to make a lie seem right, they got a scientific instrument that proves that it is wrong. You can tell them with all the innocence you want to. But they say, I didn't kill the man. Your Honor, I was home that day and look at my hands, I was working hard and I was going through this. And he could try to tell them as sincere that they really believe what he's saying, but it's a lie. He says, you could tell it all the innocence you want to, but it will still register negative. Because there's a subconscious down in a human being, and that subconscious knows what's truth. And no matter what you are saying out here, the first conscience here, that subconscious knows that's a lie, and it will register off the subconscious. Therefore, if a man or a woman would ever get their thoughts and their testimony in their lives so wound up with God until the channel of the Holy Spirit will be perfectly one with God, what would take place? If the man or woman could ever get lined up where with the freedom from their heart, with faith from the innermost, and that's why we're preaching these things, and I've been trying to deal a lot with the greatest battle ever fought, and the battle in the mind and all these things, and been bringing this message on faith and show you what it is. Because you can't bluff faith. You can't make believe faith. And no use, we try to do it. The sincere thing to do is to say, Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, increase my faith. That's the thing to do. Don't bluff, I believe, I believe, I believe. You only will hinder yourself. Because faith can only come by revelation. If it's not revealed, you could try day and night, you cannot get that thing. It is beyond you. But once he drops the revelation in your heart, he gives you the faith to take it. And then once you have that faith, no matter how much things the devil throws at you, you will stand there with that faith. Because it's revealed. That faith will not take reasoning or imagination or conscience or sight or hearing, nothing into consideration. Sure. He says now, many people come to the altar. Because we've been at spiritually now. Many people come to the altar to be prayed for. They have intellectual faith. They confess their sins. They join a church by intellectual faith. They believe it in their mind. They believe it because they heard it. They believe it because they know it's the best policy. But that's not what God looks at. That's not what God looks at. Remember I told you yesterday, a lot of people believe in a doctrine of divine healing. They believe in a doctrine of the Holy Ghost. But they don't have the faith to possess healing. They have faith to possess the Holy Ghost. Because you can't even have the faith to get divine healing if you don't even understand the laws of divine healing. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We took that a couple of weeks ago. So listen, they believe it, you see? He don't look at your intellectual faith, he looks in the heart, what's on the inside. And when it comes from the heart, all things are possible then. Your confession meets up with your life. Your life speaks as loud as your confession does. I would say your confession is like I was talking about my little boy. How are you feeling? Good. No, that is confession. If Satan can move you from your confession, what you confess is what you will live. As a man thinks his heart, so is he. I'm sick. Well, you're sick. Paul said, Satan handed it to me, I handed it back to him. He handed it to me, I handed it back to him again. He said, we're going through a whole battle this week. Every time he gives it to me, I give it back to him. No, that's where it ought to be.
As long as you confess you have it, you have it. Because you can't have it and have healing too. You can't have sickness and healing together. How are you going to have the two? How are you going to have life and death? How are you going to be drunk and sober at the same time? How are you going to go east and west at the same time? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, your confession, if you believe it, you have to confess with your mouth. Either your confession meets up with your life and your life speaks as loud as your confession does. And when your confession says one thing in your life lives another, there's something wrong somewhere. That's because you got an intellectual faith. Your intellectual faith says, I believe in divine healing, but I'm sick, but I believe God healed me on the cross. And how are you feeling? Sick. Sure. Intellectual faith and not the faith from your heart. That shows the outside here is a knowledge of God. But inside here is a demon of doubting. He said, outside is the knowledge of God. Who died for your sins? The Lord Jesus Christ. Where did he die? Where did he pay the price? On Calvary. What does Isaiah 53 says? By his stripes I am healed. Sure, out here is the knowledge of God. But inside here is a demon of doubting. I believe in divine healing, but not for me, see? It could be so, but I don't believe it. Get it? Outside you say yes, inside your conscience says no. Subconscious. That same scientific thing would prove that was right. See? He says that you put a lie detector on a Christian now. There. And they say, I believe Jesus Christ. I believe I'm healed. I believe. He says, out there saying it. And they're trying to say it sincerely. And they're quoting the scripture. The lie detector will prove you're lying. Because in the it registers off the subconscious. It didn't register off the first conscience. So you don't have to believe it here. Say it, repeat it here. You have to believe it down inside here. If you believe in your heart and don't doubt, is that right? You can have what you ask. Believe the things that you say and don't doubt in your heart, in that subconscious. Then you have what you ask for. So notice something. Abraham here, as you look at him, he was going through a rough time. And what was happening to him was that God gave him a promise. And God spoke with him, and he believed it, and he held it in his heart. And for 10 years, he went on believing that promise. But finally, it came to a place, he wasn't seeing no indication of what God said, what he was believing, what he was looking for as results in his own life, he wasn't seeing it taking place. And the situation worsened until Abraham thought he was going to die from his own confession. He says, shall I go die being childless and Eliezer will be the heir in my house. Now what's something? He couldn't see no indication of what God says in his life. And sight was beginning to bother him. Satan began to bring wisdom to him through his senses, and Satan began to sow seeds of doubt inside of him. And it began to create a fear, something negative, something different. It began to take him away from what God said, but it was happening inside of him. Because when God came to him, the first thing God says, fear not, Abraham. Because he had that fear inside him. And here in the scripture, It says, we have known and believe the love that God had to us. That is the basis for all faith. For any faith to begin to operate in your individual life, it must be on the basis of the love of God for you. Now, many people, they can't accept that God really loved them. Because in their mind, they already have a concept of what love is. And many of them think to love is parental care for a baby. The first time they cry, the first time they complain with something, oh, God must want to pick them up quick and kind of hug them and shake them back and say, okay, my child, okay, and put them back down. And every time they cry, follow the thing again, you go pick them up again, and they have that kind of comfort. But the love that God is speaking of is not parents that care for a baby. He said, God love could come into suffering, he could come into debt. See? But in it, he's going to reveal himself to you. He's bringing you to a place to bring you to a greater faith. Because he has a purpose in it. And you know Jesus conquered death and sickness on the cross. But how you know he conquered? You know he conquered? When sickness come upon you, and your faith rise and conquer the sickness, you know he conquered sickness on the cross. His things is not a past thing. It is the faith that conquered on the cross, is the faith in you conquered it when it's in you. Because he is still the conqueror. His faith, that his love that made him lay down his life there on the cross, is the love in you, making you lay down your life to the Father's will again. All that he was there is what he is here right now. And all that he manifested there is manifested here in you right now. But you see, when we get it mentally, we think, well, oh, he died for it on the cross back there and it's finished and I should be. No. It is the same faith in you that understand that he did that work there. That was a work that he done there. For all humanity, we don't want to bring a sacrifice every time. And we can look there and see what is done. But when you look there, you have to have faith in that. God doesn't look at it, it means nothing. And it is the faith that he lived on his life with is the faith that comes in you to look at it. It's the same faith. Because when he was laid on his life, he knew he was laid on his life to take away the sins of the world. He knew he was the Lamb of God. And all sins were being transferred upon him. And that's why you could believe that today. Because it is his very faith that comes back in you. And you can see that everything that we had in the beginning came back to us there. And as you have need of it, you can lay a claim to it. Now, if you don't lay a claim to it, then why would a person, knowing that God has made a provision for them? You know, like parents, for instance, they sacrifice to get into their children. And they toil and labor and sweat, and the child maybe never noticed the mother's hands coming blistered and calloused and all her washing and laboring, trying to maybe get a little extra money to buy a new dress or something. And they never notice it. And the parent's love to provide for the child, what the child need, is seeing their hand becoming blistered. It's seeing their body being broken down in health. And seeing, you know, they go in there, and yet though it happened to them, it's not causing them to stop it, because the love to give the children what the children desire is causing them to go again, you know, to the extreme that if you're going to cost them their own health to get for the child. Now then the child comes now, and the child fails to see the love that the parent had in going to that extent. And show a disregard for what the parents sacrificed to get for them. Now all the months of labor while the parents were sacrificing, what caused the parents sacrifice was the love for the child. And when the child comes down and show a complete disregard for the sacrifice of the parent, it made all that labor and all that sacrifice go to naught. Now, when you see that the Lord come and go through all these things and labor and die to achieve it, to make it secure for us, and then you just take all the devil threw upon you and say, well, I have to bear that. Well, I have to go through that. Well, I have to do this. Then what did Jesus Christ take it for? You come to a place where you actually, like a child, disregarding what the parent had suffered to make available for you. What you should do now is to go forth now and take and show your appreciation and rejoice and show how thankful you are. See, that your parents have sacrificed for this to make this available for you, that you can have it now. And this is what glorifies him, that his children be among food. When Jesus came, he said, in this is my Father glorified. And then he said, in this is my Father glorified for you, that you bring forth much fruit. You see? And then they saw the glory of the Lord with the church because they was doing the same things that he did. Now, this is what his glory is. When we can go forth and on the basis of what he has done for us, and we can live and benefit and live in that victory, that he suffered and died to achieve us, then it shows that his suffering was not in vain. And that's why his church is his victory. His church coming back to perfection is the reason of his death. Because the reason of his death was that by his blood is shed, he would redeem a people. He would sanctify that church, and he would come and live in that church and bring that church back to Eden. And if he don't do it, and the church will come to that place, he died in vain. His death had failed to accomplish because death was a price, a redeeming price. See? And that is why Paul said, when I come, I know nothing save Jesus and him crucified. Because to the Christian, that's why the early church, to them it was real. They saw Jesus there. They walked with him. They knew he was the sinless one. They knew he was perfect. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. They saw those things. And then they saw him die. And then they noticed their sins of him on the cross. And then when they saw his sins on the cross, notice that John comes and say, he said, we have known. In 1 John 1, he says, that was from the beginning. We have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, we have handled the word of life. This life that has been manifested. Then he said, we have known and we have believed the love that God had towards us. Because they saw it. It was revealed to them when he came and he said, this is my body that is broken for you. This is my blood I shed. No wonder. It has healing just in taking the Lord's Supper. Can't you realize? Even before it had Jesus died, had healing in the Old Testament. Had a brass pole, had healing. Had a pool of water, had healing. Where the angels come and trouble the water. Let me tell you, healing, this is an easy thing. That's not a difficulty with God in the Bible. Because even before Jesus Christ died, it had healing, had a pool, people used to go and get healed. People used to look at a brazen pole and get healed. It was always an outlet for healing in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament too. That did not a Christian be struggling for. This is showing that God freely wanted to give this to his children. But I tell you what has happened. Your relationship with God is wrong. Because your revelation of the word is wrong. And if your revelation of the word is wrong, your relationship with God can't be right. Because you're relating with the one that is not revealed to you. And if he's not revealed to you in his word, then you don't want to please me because you don't want his word. How he is, what he is, how he acts, his nature. This is what his word does. His word unfolds to us his being, his person. Amen. And right here in Genesis 15 that we read, we see his person unfolding to us. We see his nature unfolding to us. Because the first thing the Bible said, the word of the Lord came to Abraham. Abraham wasn't seeking and praying, oh God, no, to get the word of the Lord. No. It came to him. Peter and him in the boat when they were fighting up there in the dark night and they couldn't see where they was going and all they were seeing is death and, you know, they get so perplexed and without hope, they begin to crawl to one another. It was a disturbance in the boat. You know, they was in despair. They thought he was going to drown and everything else. And he came walking in the water. He came to them. The word of the Lord came to them. Look at Elijah. Elijah there, Jezebel ran down to take his life and all these things. And he was so depressed. And Lord, take my life. Because I'm dead. And, you know, I the only one remaining. And all depressed. And the angel of the Lord came to him. And give him cakes and give him water. What was the word of the Lord was coming unto him. Look at Joseph down the dungeon. In feet of fetters and all these things being tried by the world. But it was the word of the Lord that come unto him. See? So when you look and you see then that God coming to you in a time when you're even thinking of him to come to you. But because he know what Abraham is going through. He knew the inner torment. He knew the fears. He knew the problems Abraham had. He knew the things that was bothering him in his own life that he couldn't see. The things he was believing and expecting God to do for him. He couldn't see it coming to pass. He couldn't see no indication of it. And it bothered him so much that it began to bring a fear and a torment on the inside. Because Satan was sowing seeds of doubt in his mind. You see, and when Satan began to plant them seeds of doubt, it began to influence him into believing that God's promise could not be fulfilled because of the circumstances that he was in. And how many times he does that to us? He believes, you know, it can't be fulfilled in our life because look at the circumstances I'm in. And it's exactly what Satan was bringing to him, bringing wisdom to him by his senses. But God was bringing back the word to Abraham with a further revelation. God didn't give no child here. God gave more revelation. God can't barely see and show him the stars. It is more revelation God has given him because God had the appointed time to bring it. But God wanted him to keep his testimony true and to keep his faith in the right place because it was going to take faith to bring it to pass. As I took yesterday and show you, the man came to Jesus crying, have mercy on me, have compassion on me. The man emotion, the man hurt and the man pain never really brought nothing to pass. It was his faith in the word. So that's why the Lord turned and gave him the word. He says, go and show yourself to the priest. And he had to obey the word of the Lord and to obey, to act upon it. It was spoken to him out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. He had to act upon it. And when he began to act upon it, then he began to see it come to pass. Because you see, the thing is that he's the same yesterday and forever. If that man is crying, beg and plead and get it, then everybody who cry and beg and plead will get without faith. Because he would have to act the same way every time. But if he act one way, he must always forever act that way. If he changed, he made a mistake. Because he's perfect and he's infinite. This is the mystery that is revealed to us in the world, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am God who changeth not. So what he was yesterday, he's the same today. That is why you can have faith. Because you can see how somebody approached him yesterday when they had a certain condition, and you come the same way, you're going to get the same thing. And that's why the word is written and put in the Bible to become an example for you. So you will not try to imagine how to come. The way to come is already given in the word, how you should come. It just needs to be pointed out to you. And when the prophet came, all he did was point out the way to us. He said, your approach is wrong, church. No, that's the wrong way. This is the Bible way. Come this way. Cast on that. You need to be instructed. You need to have to know this. And he began to bring the scriptures and say, look, you want to come to Jesus with respect. Give me the right title. With the right attitude. Look, if you come the other way, nothing would never happen. You see? Now what he was doing, he was pointing out to us, instructing us, teaching us how to approach God according to his word. How to come according to the plan, and then we could plead what the plan promised. And don't try to grab at nothing. That's why it's a sure promise. That's why once it's revealed to you, you don't bother about nothing else. He says it to you, it's going to come to pass. His word will not return unto him void. Now what? Now it was needless now for Abraham to worry and have fear. Now there was a perfect love cast out all fear. But the thing about the fear is, he says, if a person don't know the love of God, now you watch it in nature. Many times I think that's the reason why we miss the word. Because when we read the word, we try to imagine something. And God, the word is nigh unto us. The word is not up in heaven, the word is not down the earth. The word is nigh unto us. All of this look right around you. And you're going to see the very thing you read about, an expression of it somewhere. You talk about love, you have children, or you're a child, right? So then right away, you could see what love is. God have children, and when God talk about love, God is talking about love to his children, the love he have for them. And right away, you could see that what you would do, what would cause you, because Jesus said, if you as a evil give your children good gifts, how much more your Heavenly Father? If you love somebody and you think that, you just think of what the love will make you do for the person that you genuinely love. Usually I think of limits. I think of what will be to know how much you love the person. Instead of think of what could cause you to sort of go against them, or what is that you can't really do for them, you will know the limit of your love. But if you look through the eyes of your love for the person, you sort of realize that sometimes there is nothing you won't do for a person. So then you sort of realize that love is a powerful thing. Then sometimes unconsciously, somebody in need, and you have something, you save it up, you save it up for yourself, something for your own self, and right when they need, you don't take a second thought. And then you watch and see, look how their love will make you behave. But sometimes they never even know it's love making you do those things. They never even see love through that. And the same way, things that God does all through the Bible, if we don't see God love through it, or things that God does for us, if we don't see God loving it, you know, they have children, to the parents, they take things for granted. They think the parents are supposed to do this, and supposed to do that, and they take it for granted. And then, you know, they can't relate, you know, to the parents the right way, or they can't find themselves doing something to honor the parents, or constrained in their mind to please the parents. Because why? They have no real love for the parents. Because what they have is selfish. They don't want to soak up all their parents can give them. And the parents give them, they want it for themselves. Want it for themselves. Want it for themselves. And they're thinking of the parent. That is loving the parent, causing them to go the extra mile. Is loving the parent, considering them. Is loving doing that. Now, if they would see the manifestation of that love, right away they would find themselves wanting to be obedient. Because, you see, love now just breed love. And it will cause you now to want to please back the person that is showing you love. If somebody show you love, you can't help but want to show back love because you ain't going to show back hate. Somebody show you love and you show back hate. You see, something is wrong. It means that the person there is misunderstanding. It is love being projected to them. Now, all through the Bible and even God's commandments, all the examples in the scripture, you can see that there was no time, as hard as the trials were, that God gave to each one of his children. You think of Job, you think of where God put the Hebrew boys in the fire, where he put Daniel, where he had different ones. And even like, you know, in this day, where the prophet says, you know, that German writer says, what kind of God is that? We'll have all them people to go through the dark ages and be sown asunder and be burnt and, you know, be killed and fed to dogs and different things in the time of martyrdom and persecution under the Roman church. He said, what kind of God is that? He said, but if that man had the inspiration, he would look there and he would see how the corn had fallen on the ground and die. He would see how it's bring for that in multiplied form in the last days, how it's bring for that glorious church to the rapture and these things. But he didn't have no inspiration. So he couldn't really see the love of God in it. He looked at it and finally like, that God I don't love. I will never serve a God like that. You see? But when you look in the scripture, no matter what a person went through, you could see how in the end, it was the love of God leading them, guiding them, working things out that look for the glory. Where's Moses today? In glory. Where's Job and them? In glory. Where's Elijah? In glory. Where's Isaiah and them? In glory. You see? Living eternally. So you can't see what I went through. The light of friction, which is but for a moment. Yet you see some people in a crowd with God. God too hard. God gave me too much. I going through this and I going through that. And they start to get frustrated. Because you get in the kind of mind. Because they fail to even look in their own life and see the grace of Almighty God. I could be a vagrant out there. I could be a prostitute in a brothel somewhere. I could be just. They fail to see God loving that. They think God had a right to save them and God had a right to bring them here. So then now you know, like a spoiled child. Lord, I want it. I ain't got from here. I'm vexed. You know. And when you get in that kind of way, you can't have faith. It's impossible to try to have faith. Because you start off without the foundation, the real thing. Real faith does come from knowing that you are chosen. God loves elective love. That you could never be lost. And when God's going to show them things, let me tell you, suffering, sickness, all these things come so small in the eyes of that. So minute. Because where you going to go push them things aside? When you really see those things. Because you see now how God is working in your life now to bring it to a real faith. Now, Abraham was here. It was needless him to worry. What he was worrying about, like, God would, and I can't bring the past God promise, and like, maybe I really believe on. Maybe I will die, and maybe it's really Eliezer, and maybe I misunderstand the promise, and maybe God should never call me in the first place, and you know. And God comes and says, fear not. What are you worrying about? He said, you are about one little child. And I think about millions. To bring the past in your life. But the thing was, you see, Satan's approach is from the inside. And Abraham, the kind of mind battles he had, especially in what his situation was like. When you examine the man's situation, you know, it just shows the power of faith. God just put examples here to show the power of faith. That's why he took condition like Abraham, call a man 75 years old, call a man after trying to have children, let me say for about 50 years or more, the man trying to have children can't have no children. Went to every doctor, he could every specialist, can't have no children. Think of how much medical opinion the man had to go against. You know what I'm saying? Think of how many attempts in the man's own life, the man trying for 50 years, not 10 years, he trying to have children. It's 50 years the man trying to have children, he's an old man now. He's an old man. Can forget about having children now. God talk about bringing a nation. Now, what is God doing? He's trying to bring to our attention the power of faith. That If you could possess this thing that called faith, you could create worlds, you could move mountains. And we just talk about faith just to get a little job on faith, to get something. And look, God in bringing the character of faith, his kind of faith that will operate in his children, he started off on those kind of circumstances. Moses opened my Red Sea. What do you think God is doing? Showing your faith. You think of this, you watch a little small river in Trinidad, we have a river, Carony River. You see, you go in Ghana, there's a drain. When you go in Ghana, where you see where a river is? Because in Ghana, you see the river, you can't see the next side. You see, you have to take ferry and the cross. And it's a long half an hour journey going over before you get to the other side. Then when you say, think of a sea and another 5 million go across, 2.5 million, that's more than the whole population of Trinidad crossing that sea. Going through there, come with camel, come with oxen, come with sheep, come with everything they have, come with, and going right through. And that man, faith, and the word he spoke, hold up that sea like that. Oh, you know, until everybody cross over. So when you think of it, now, God may not ever do that particular miracle with none of us, but he will not give none of us less faith than that. Because it's the same quality. Whether you take a spoonful of water from the ocean or a whole bucket, both is the same thing, because they have the same ingredients in it, same chemicals in it. Because that little spoonful of water from the sea have all what the whole ocean have in composition. That's why Jesus, if you have faith, it's a grain of mustard seed. If you have that quality of faith that can't be hybrid, you can sit in this mountain. You don't have a faith like a mountain to move a mountain. He said, you don't need that faith. That's the size of a mustard seed. It's the kind of faith like a mustard seed. Mustard seed faith. If you have that kind. See, if you have a ton load of intellectual faith, that ain't going to move you from here. That ain't moving nothing. But if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed. So when you watch and see them, as it looks here to us, and we see that is the faith of Jesus Christ. Now the book is open to us, so we know. It was Jesus being revealed in Abraham. It was his very faith. It's the very same faith that when he came, when you receive his Holy Spirit, you receive no other faith but that same faith. For the Holy Spirit don't come into your life without that faith. The Holy Spirit is that faith. Holy Spirit is that virtue. Holy Spirit is that knowledge. So if you have the Holy Ghost, you have that faith. You think you have a next faith? No, it's the same faith you have. Paul said, I live now by the faith of the Son of God. God, remember, we're not Trinitarians, okay? So the life in Jesus was God. All right? And you have two gods. And the Holy Spirit, it was the same person who was in Jesus, coming inside of you. That's why you see, when it comes to the place to really believe, to look at these circumstances with the eyes here, and God come and teach us and show us, oh, Satan is bringing those things to your senses. See? He's bringing wisdom to your senses by what you could see. And Abraham was looking at what he could see. He was getting older. He said, maybe this promise can't really come to pass. God promised me the Holy Spirit. God promised me this. God promised me, you know, I will be healed. God promised me this. But like, I can't see it. All these years, I can't see it yet. So maybe. And we all just get right here. And when we get there, notice that's where unbelief decided to set in. Because Satan have already come from the inside and begin to undermine your faith and take you away from the promise and begin to make you accept something other. So he says, well, maybe I ain't going to bring forth the child. Maybe Eliezer going to bring forth the child. Maybe Eliezer is the one God is talking about. Who will be heir really? I misunderstand the thing. And if Satan can get you to feel that you misunderstand what he promised you, well, then you're already defeated. Get ready to pray for those needs now. Listen, just me. Listen to me here for you. With this battle. He said, kill him at the beginning. Talk about the thoughts. When he begins to bring the thoughts. Now, what right now Satan was planting those seeds of fear inside of Abraham by making him look at his situation and make him see his situation, you know, it was going to end up in failure. He couldn't bring the pass, what God said. And God said, no. God was determined to bring the pass in his life, what God had told him. And when the first thing came, and the prophet said, the greatest plague I find among the Christian church is fear. People always have fear, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen, it's not going to happen. He said, if you could ever get that fear away, if God could come and drive that fear out by the word, and that's exactly what God in the word of the Lord come to begin to reveal to him. No, it is not here. It was further revelation, and the very place where Satan was building up the doubt, God began to come and break down those places right there. And God began to give him further revelation to show him that you are going to bring the past those things. That's exactly where we stop short of seeing the thing coming to its fulfillment. And the promise is aborted in our very own life. Always trying to bring forth something. For 10 years, he went on believing. But right there in the end, he come like, well, 10 years ago before, I had a better chance. But 10 years after, 85 now. And God waited 15 years further, even before the son came. But you know, after that time, he never doubted after that time. Bible say, it was imputed unto him for righteousness right there. He never started through unbelief. He never even considered his own body now dead. Now that is where we're trying to bring. If we can get that faith. Faith that would look, that when your eyes see your condition, it could have no influence upon the faith in your heart. Because the faith in your heart, something is keeping it anointed. It has found a source where it can be kept anointed. It can keep throwing off. As Paul said, the repellent, it can keep throwing off everything you see through your eye or reason with your mind to power the faith. The faith can keep throwing it off. Rather than the faith take it in and become hybrid and wither up and die and you fall short of the promise. He said the promise left us that we come short of it. Oh yeah, we hear the point. We just seem to come short of it. Like, I believe in healing, but I just seem to come short of it. I believe in, you know, in deliverance, but I just seem to come short of it. Why are we coming short of the promise? Why can't we have the faith to stay there, and as much as the fever rage, as much as the disease is there, that we can stand there and say, man, if I die, let me die. Rather than buckle up on the God. Because that is a battle. He has to show the victory. No. If you have real faith, you know God, Satan can't take your life until God fulfills his purpose. He can't take your life until God fulfills his purpose. And if the devil comes and God permit him there, then that don't mean nothing. That don't mean to try your faith. That don't mean to see where you stand, because it's for a testimony. God, the reason God is giving you experience is to show to the world that he is restoring back his church. That very bride that the devil defeated back in the garden is coming back to a rightful place. You see, when you get in your own world and you forget the battle. The battle is not between you and nothing, you know. The battle is between God and Satan. God is saying, my word is going to stand. Satan saying, no, he's going to destroy it. And the thing is that you caught up in the middle. But then you see now that you are called and chosen for this thing. That God is going to prove his word by you. You are believing going to prove his word by you. Amen. Now watch. He said, kill him at the beginning. Stop him dead in his track. It didn't how long you can make the wall linger. Stop it right now. If you'll come. He says now, the scripture I went to read for you the other day was right here in Romans, Psalm 7 rather. I couldn't find it. Maybe you could just tell me. I tried to think of it. I couldn't think of it. And where I was telling you that a thought conceived before the loss and Psalm 7, verse 14. Now, they're just showing a principle here. It says, behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. Now, watch the word the Spirit is using here in describing mischief, iniquity, and falsehood. How a person decided to devise mischief. You remember when I put on the mischief of Haman? And he thought, when he started, it started in his mind, he started to formulate a plan to destroy God's people. And then, from that mischief, it begins to travel in iniquity because you know it is right and you're not doing it now. And then it brings forth falsehood. But watch the word the Spirit is using to show how these things progress within the life of a person. Conceive, travail, and brought forth. Now, he's using the terminology of a woman bringing forth a child. When a woman conceives, she doesn't conceive a child, she conceives a seed. But out of the seed, a child is grown up inside the womb. And when she brings it forth, she doesn't bring forth a seed, like when she was conceiving it. She has bring forth a full manifestation of all the potential that was in the seed that she conceived. You know what I'm saying? So that's why James said, a thought, he conceive it, it become lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Then from lust, it brings forth sin. And when sin has its end, it brings forth death. So when those things come in as thoughts right there, in the mind, and those thoughts conceive inside a person, and it begins to develop inside of them, your battle no longer will be thoughts after a while. You see, your battle will be thoughts at one stage. Then some people, the battle is not thoughts now. It's how to get this habit away now. Because it already begins to develop within them. You see? Then it begins to bring forth, because when that baby comes forth there, it is a full manifestation of what has conceived. Fully developed and manifested now. So it's not no more like a little sperm now. It's a big baby with eye and nose and foot and hand and mouth and everything else. It's a complete body. And that's exactly what the scripture is showing, the process of how those things, you're taking things in your mind and you begin to entertain them. See? And I just shared with them last night there. You entertain things. If I say entertain somebody, you say, oh, come in and sit down and relax yourself and let me get something and serve you something. See, you're making them feel welcome. You're making them accepted. And when you go to entertaining thoughts, and you shall get there, and you shall entertain certain nature of thoughts, devil bringing thoughts, and you shall entertain those things, is you begin to water those things, and it begin to take root inside of you. It begin to become part of you inside of there. It begin to become an influence upon your life. But no more thoughts, no, you start getting, no more mind battles. And exactly what Abram was getting, Satan begin to bring in the thoughts inside there, and begin to think about it. And then immediately, well, you know, yeah, it isn't really me, it's a liaison. And exactly, it's going from the promise. For 10 years, believe in something, and then afterwards, now, begin to abort it. You see? And begin to, something else, another belief begin to be nurtured inside. Not no more, I'll bring for the nation, or, you know, no, I could die now. And you hear people go, well, I will get healed, I'm healed, next thing, I could die. Another nature coming in. Because thoughts from the inside. You ain't seen no big devil come out here talking or something to you. No, sir. It's right inside here. Because he's presenting those thoughts through a channel of reasoning and memory and all these different things. He's bringing those things in. Here the prophet is saying, he said, don't you do that at all. You throw everything aside, open the channel, and say, God, your word is eternally true. It's for me. If the whole church fails, if the whole world fails, I can't fail because I'm taking your word. He said, that's what the matter with so many blowed up Christians. Because they don't clean out the channels out. They don't go down to the inside. You've got a clean conscience, memory, thoughts, laying aside everything, and coming from the inside out with the unadulterated word of God. And that, it's the truth. No matter if 10,000 died on this side, they're trusting. 10,000 died on that side, tomorrow trusting. That has nothing to do with me. I'm the individual. I'm the one that's trusting. I'm the one that believes it. And we see way back yonder, if we want to open up our channels, we can see, we find this one, that one, and thousands of them testifying, but the devil will come right back. See, if you could get in there at all, he's got your army routed. See, if you got your senses, taste, feel, and smell, they're all right. But don't trust them unless they agree with the word. See, and Abraham was getting his senses going away to something else. See, and fear began to come in. Instead of faith, now fear was coming in now. See, they're all right, but if they disagree with the word, don't you listen to them. Now imagine that conscience, memory, reason, affection, they're all right if they agree with the word. If your affection doesn't agree with the word, get rid of it. You blow a flu right out quick. If your reason disagrees with the word, get away from it. You see, and this is the thing. You hear people come say, you know, I get a battle in the mind, I get a battle in the mind, you're not going through this, and the thoughts fight in my mind. Sure, everybody has that. Let me tell you, only a dead person has no mind battles. Let me tell you, only a dead person has no mind battles. Because as long as Satan and God exist and human beings are alive, the two of them fighting in the human mind. They're fighting nowhere else. And the battle that started in heaven never stopped yet. It's just the battle won't change. So when you think that you're talking about victory, having the victory, you know, and faith is the victory, you know what it means? That means you could pull on the strongholds, those thoughts, those influences in the mind that come there to bring the doubt, to bring the unbelief, to bring the fall, like Satan come through Eve's mind. Where it starts? Right in Eve's mind. She began to doubt the word. Exactly right. He presented, oh, you shall not surely die. And she reasoned and said, yeah, sure. And she began to see the tree desired to make one wise and good for food. What was happening? From a thought, it conceived. It brings about a loss. She had a loss after it. That's a loss after it. She had a loss after these things. That's what's offering. Then it brings forth sin. Is that right? Sure. Next, she was in the ark with Satan. Then it brings forth death. For God, in the day, she shall surely die. Exactly right. She come right through the process. But where it starts? Right in the mind. When it comes to Eve, to Mary, rather, God come the same way. Bring the word to her. To her mind. A virgin shall conceive. She ain't reason. She opened the gate and laid right in. That's God's word. God has said so. Do I can't understand? God said so. And the thought come in, and it conceive, and bring forth faith. See? How shall this thing be? Say, the Holy Ghost overshadow you. Speak unto me according to thy word. She said, fully surrendered. And what she brought forth? The word, life. Exactly right. She went through the very process right on the inside. And right there for the fall and for redemption. And when Satan worked and when God worked, both approach was on the inside. See? Now I see people fight them out there. Fight them. No. You're seeing symptoms, but you're getting thoughts. And what you see is not what control you. It's the thoughts that you get from what you see. But Jesus knew Lazarus dead and rotten and stinking. Martha said, by this time now he's thinking, oh God, that can't happen. No, he said, roll back the stone. Both of them talking about the same dead man. But one scene, I'm the resurrection of life. One scene, well, when you open that tomb, that scent go from this whole place, you know. You see? Both look at the scene, but seeing two different things, like Saul and David. Both singular. David see uncircumcised for the time. Saul see a warrior in the small. Moses and Pharaoh through the same window. Look at the same people. One seeing slaves, mud daubers. One seeing the people that promise. It's when you look what you're seeing. It's the thoughts you get that is what's going to control you. When you see the symptoms and you say, well, I ain't healed yet. Well, you're still in that condition. When you see the symptoms, you say, praise God, how to move. It depends on what you're seeing. The thoughts that you get. And that is right where the battle is. The overcoming is overcoming right inside of you. Greater is he that is in you, in your heart, than he that is in your flesh. See? He says when God can get his hands, a man in his hands, till his senses, conscience, everything clean out, until it stands with God behind it in the spirit, there's not a devil in the world can poke a doubt in there. He says, you're always going to come when the church discerns the two spirits in the framework of the church. Satan will be powerless before the church. When the church comes to a place there, when her thinking, her soul, her attitude, everything is so lined up with God, it shall show in the most powerful churches there is. He said, when God gets a man, senses, conscience, everything clean out, and he stands behind, and God stands behind it, you see, until it stands with God behind it in the spirit, there's not a doubt that Satan can poke inside of there. In other words, you will find a church that Satan will be powerless against. But what it is some great big super thing happening? No. It's just that from the inside. You ain't trying to confess it out here and lift something inside. No. You're trying to get line up from the inside coming out. You see, that's what it is. See? If you come around and say you don't feel any better, your conscience is even gone to that. The flute so clear, it shouts hallelujah. The outlet blows a whistle. Glory to God. It sounds out. Just as clear and clear for the word of God to work through, the power of God. That's the main thing. There's your battleground. your battleground is back here at the beginning, back here in the spirit, back in your mind that opens the gate to the soul. Your mind opens up and accepts the spirit or it rejects the spirit. You can have little conscience, little feelings, little sensations and things that has nothing to do with it. That's just a little sensation thing. But when it comes to reality, your mind opens up. Your mind either accepts it or rejects it. Now let me tell you, until that is not lined up in the believer, there's no healing, there's no salvation, there's no change of body, there's no rapture, there's no nothing. Let me tell you, it's true. Because faith to operate must be able to bring those senses in subjection. And is faith going to take you to every promise? Is faith going to take you to your healing? Is faith going to take you to your change of body? Is faith going to take you off the face of the earth? Is faith. So regardless of what the promise is the faith that you live by, but your senses are with you, but your faith with you also. And Satan have access to those senses, and that's where the battle has been fought. I remember when he comes, faith will only agree with God's word. So what is bringing the reason and using your senses against the very thing that your soul wants to believe. That's why I say a man comes in two minds. See, like I'm in two minds. You know why I'm in two minds? Because the senses saying something and the word saying something, I battle inside of there. And if you don't have a real genuine revelation inside of there, and it's just an intellectual knowledge of the scripture, then that has no power over the enemy. It will not move him back. So he says, but when it comes to reality, your mind opens up, your mind either accepts it or rejects it. He said, that's it, friends. God, let none of them miss it. If your mind, it's your mind that opens up the door or closes the door. And listen to your conscience, listen to your memory, listen to your affection. But when your mind closes itself to these things and let God, the spirit of his word, come in, it blows the rest of the stuff out. Every doubt is gone, every fear is gone, every sensation is gone, every feeling is gone. There's nothing standing there but the word of God. And Satan cannot battle against that. He cannot battle against that. Eve could not sin until she cast aside the word, opening up her channel of reasons. See? So, would you then really trust him? You have to trust him. Would you really reach out and say, Lord, I'm going to take you at your word. I'm going to doubt my doubts. I realize, I'm fighting so much of outward battles that don't even exist. I'm fighting illusions. See, trying to fight something that don't exist outside you. When the battle is right on the inside, when you can conquer your thoughts and it's only the word of God, God's own thoughts will come down through there, then there's nothing to battle against that.
Please, that word can become spirit and life. Where it can fall into deep, rich faith. Where it can be watered and it can bring forth its kind. The Lord is your children here this morning. Lay hands one upon the other, believer to believer. Make it such a faith contact throughout the building. Everyone's faith, Lord, looking unto you. The divine promiser who gave us these divine promises. You said, I am that I am. I am whatever you have need of. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord of all of diseases. I am Jehovah Nisi, the Lord who fight our battles. I am Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of peace. I am Jehovah Siddiq, the Lord of our righteousness. I am Jehovah Raha, the Lord of our shepherd who will lead us and guide us. Oh God, whatever we have need of this morning, I am that I am. Lord, we know that in the name of Jesus Christ, we can have every promise. For every compound redemptive name is in that name of our Lord Jesus. And Father, today, as we feel in our hearts, Lord, the channel so cleared up and faith being energized through the preached word. For faith can die hearing and hearing by the word. And your children, Lord, holding these requests in their hearts, looking unto you. Lord God, holding that specific need right now in your divine presence. And you, the faithful and true witness, You're the God who can look up into our hearts and see what we have need of and see that faith reaching out and touching you, Lord. Oh God, Lord, you will not withhold any blessing that the children have from you. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, whatever that need is, Father, your spirit will move, Lord, right here now, from the first row, from the first bench, Lord, from the first chair, moving row after row, individual after individual, Lord, right from the front, going, Lord, from right to left, all the way down from the front, right down to the last person behind, then going out around the building, to the side of the building, chair after chair, everyone stands up, sitting alongside the building, wherever that set is, Lord, your Holy Spirit ministering unto each and to everyone, not by passing any, Lord, even them that are standing, Lord, on behalf of others, the loved ones, Almighty God, you, who, Lord God, gather us, Lord, perfect ones lacking our faith, to bring our faith to the place where it's sufficient to receive all that we have need of, that we might be better representatives, that we might take our stand, that you might prove our word, your word in us, as true believers in this hour, to show forth your victory, Lord, that we might walk good warfare, Father, against the enemy. Oh, God, not ignorant of his devices, but standing there mighty to the point of the strongholds, knowing yet, God, that you said, Lord, we are more than conquerors through him that love you, us. Oh, God, so I pray today, Father, that the Holy Spirit, Lord, will so energize that faith in every heart, Lord, God, reach out and take a firm grip upon every divine promise, Lord. And Lord, you would see that word materialize and come into such a living reality. And it is producing a real manifestation, proving, dear God, that your word will bring forth of its kind. Grant it, Lord, I pray, as we ask these things here. For I believe in children, Lord. Oh, God, who, Lord, will be crying out to the very, Lord, purpose of coming to these services and being here every Monday, every Tuesday, service after service, showing it and crying their heart that you will increase the faith, Lord. Oh, God, you take away their unbelief, Lord. And Lord God, you bring them, Lord, to such a place where they can stand without any doubt, that word stand inside of them, every child of kingdom and Satan can't put one doubt inside of them. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that solid rock faith, the Lord inside of them, Lord God, regardless how long it takes, regardless of what circumstances remain, that you would allow it to test the faith, that faith would stand here, Lord, like a movable rock. Hallelujah! They will not move one inch. It will not give one way to the enemy, but will stand here firm, strong in faith, giving praise and glory unto God, not stagging through unbelief in any way, but with a real true confession, confessing these things to be the truth, knowing they shall never, never, never be ashamed. Oh God, may you grant it, pour out your Holy Spirit in their hearts, I pray, Lord. Send them your love, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit move to their minds, move into their hearts, Lord. Oh God, through the quickening power, quickening them, Lord, from unbelief to faith, from faith unto faith, Lord. Oh God, you came to Abraham and gave him a greater faith, a greater revelation. And from that time, the Bible says it was imputed unto him for righteousness, Lord. He never feared, no doubt, no more. He was settled, Lord. His faith was bolted up, Lord. You found the weak places, Lord. You blew the fruits out, Lord. Oh God, Lord. There was no more torment. There was no more fear. He could believe in that love that you loved him with, Lord. He could see a good unconditional covenant. He could see a grace in the election. He could see, Lord God, and know that you really love him. Oh, God, his faith found a source that could keep anointing, Lord. It could keep throwing out the unbelief that the enemy tried to spray with. Oh, God, may it do the same for us, Lord, as Abraham seed standing here in the divine presence. Lord, you are the same yesterday and forever. Grant that we pray. Let us see faith build up in this church, Father. Let us see the church be lifted in the power of God. Let us see, oh God, individual God. Lord God, every cell, cell upon cell. Every cell becoming a word cell. Every individual becoming the word. Hallelujah. The real scripture, born faith, holding that key. that can master every circumstance. Oh God, that we can see this church full of rapture faith. We can see this church full of the faith of the fathers. That this church can live by the faith of the Son of God. Every brother and sister, every son and daughter of God, every individual, Lord, that faith, Lord God, can pass on to others, Lord. Oh God, out of the faith, can strengthen others. Point on virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and bodily kindness. But first, Father, may there be that real scriptural faith. Oh God, hallelujah, in every heart. Grant it, Lord. You said faith will take us to the power, and the power will produce the promise. We believe that today, Father. Oh, we are letting go, Lord, that you can have your own wonderful way, Lord. We'll cast all reason, all imagination. We are doubting our doubts, Lord. We're laying it aside, Lord. Oh, God, we call the devil a liar. We're not going to believe him no more, Lord. We're not going to let him, Lord, plant no seed of doubt and spur us anything no more. Oh God, may we put the last chance to break the strong barrier. Break the law of sin, Lord. That law of sin, Lord, that sin barrier. And soar into the realm. Lord, where all things are possible. Oh God, we do it for you, we can do it for us, Lord. We can do it for Paul, we can do it for Brother Brown, we can do it for us, you can do it for us, Lord. Oh God, Lord, you give us examples, Lord, that we can look at our hope, Lord. We ain't compatible with a cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. May we be added to this by faith, by faith, by faith. Hallelujah. May our name be added to that list, Father, by faith. Oh God, may you grant it. In the name of Jesus Christ, let that word live in us, Lord. Let that word live inside of us. That the cry of our hearts this hour to see that word. Oh God, produce all that you said it will do in this hour. Grant it, precious Lord. I pray, oh God, your God who's so rich in grace and rich in love. Oh God, rich in mercy, will come and quicken. Lord, raise us up, Lord, into such a place, such a heavenly place. Lord, where there'll be no more fear, whether it will happen or whether it won't happen, or no more uncertainty in these things. But it's a rich atmosphere of faith. Oh God, that will be the desire to see and to walk and to live in. Lord, she existed among the believers, Lord. Truly, that is heavenly places, Father, where everyone knows the position, Lord. Oh, God, let a heavenly place be in this church, Lord, in this assembly. Oh, God, may you grant these things, we pray. Father, we leave this place to go on our ways. Lord, may your Holy Spirit go with us, keep this word fresh in our hearts. Oh, God, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. Lord, the word of the Lord has come unto us this morning. Say, fear not. Oh, God, whether we do show indication of our lives, yet you give it more revelation, oh, God. Lord, to anchor our souls, Lord. Take away our torment. Take away our fears, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. You're still the same God. You know deep down in our hearts. You know all about our struggles. You will guide until the day is done. Lord, we can be a real friend of God like he was a friend of God. Oh, God, may we walk with you and talk with you. May, oh God, be that same kind of fellowship, Father. Grant these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you. Amen. Amen. Just a closer walk with you. Grant it, Jesus. May we walk with us. Amen. Yeah.
God who gives.
Let us say that He loves us. Let me know what He loves us. Lord,
you are our burden
changed.
See, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Amen. But the word that came from my mouth will not return to me, for it will accomplish the purpose and prosper in the thing unto which he sent it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So you know, he says it in his word, amen, nothing can stop that to come to pass. Yeah. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, and ask what you need. Amen. Maybe take a real purpose and let our roots of faith really get them in that word. And you watch and see, you'll make everything different. You live it by faith instead of by sight. And you watch and see how close this person will be with you, because God cannot withhold himself from a believing heart. It's what always brought him on his seat when he saw that faith in his children. He stood there so gallantly in that fiery furnace, he went right down himself and he stood in the middle of them. Daniel stood there, he was bound on one knee, turned that lion's den, and he's right there, and the faith brought the angel of the Lord to see and shut him up in the lions. Amen. That same faith is what you've given unto us this hour. That's the faith that pleases him. Then, in the face of sickness, all these different things, your back, you may have never been a lion's den, your lion's den might be at that Satan roaring like a lion trying to devour you. With that sickness, that fear, and those things, you need to stand right there and overcome. Amen. But all you may never speak up to a mountain to move from one place to the next, but those very things that stand before you that block you from going forward with your promise, you need to stand right there and speak against that unbelief, that doubt, and what they hinder you from receiving what God promised to you. Just let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let us sing every song as you go. Let go and let God have his own wonderful way. That's the key to believing. That's the key to receiving. When you begin on your way, your human senses and his faith can come right to you. Then his faith will make you believe things. And while you were getting a picture, you couldn't imagine you never did it. Amen.
Let go.
Your sorrow will vanish.
Your sorrow.